Come tonight to the last seventh chapter of Mark's Gospel, beginning at verse 31. Mark 7, beginning at verse 31. And again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. And they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears and spat on him and touched his tongue. And he looked up to heaven and he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly. And he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. When we come to this passage, we find Jesus making a journey that some say perhaps took no less than 8 months. It appears to be a time of intense training for his disciples. Someone has called it the time of peace before the storm. When Jesus came back into Galilee, he went to the district of Decapolis, and there was a man who was deaf and who had a speech impediment, and the people brought him to Jesus and asked Jesus to lay his hands on him that he might be healed. I want to look first at Jesus' action in his healing. First, he took the man away from the crowd so that he could minister him all alone. This way, the man would have no doubt that Jesus was concerned at that moment only about him, and there would be no distractions. We lack the attention of the person that we are dealing with. It's been several years ago now, but I went to a dentist to get my teeth cleaned and checked. The hygienist checked them, and then the hygienist cleaned them and the dentist was checking them. And all the time she was checking my teeth, she was watching a soap opera on television and carrying on a conversation about the soap opera with the hygienist. Needless to say, I never went back to that dentist. You know, she had no time, it looked like, for me. Jesus takes this man aside, away from everybody else, and gives him his full attention. And he placed his fingers into the man's ears as a symbol, it seems to me, of opening them. And then he spat and touched the man's tongue. In those days, people believed that spittle had a curative quality, and this would speak to that which the man believed. Then Jesus looked up to heaven as if to say that that's where the healing power came from, that healing came from God. And then he spoke the word, be opened. With this, the man's ears were opened and his speech became clear. The people were amazed and proclaimed that he has done all things well. And that's the basic story. But what does it say to us today? Well, it seems to me it speaks about the necessity both of hearing and speaking. Matthew 13:13, Jesus said, Hearing do they not hear, nor do they understand. And in 13:43, Jesus said, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In all of the 7 letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, the letters end with the statement, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. James in his epistle said we should be swift to hear. How good is your hearing? If I were to ask you, how many of our troubles are caused largely by our not listening to others and our not listening to God, what would you say? Having ears, do we not hear? How good do you hear the voice of your spouse or your children or your parents? Do we have selective hearing? Most of you here tonight have met our daughter and son-in-law. A couple of years ago, she was really concerned about his hearing. He just didn't seem to hear a thing she said to him. She thought about trying to get him to go get a hearing test and maybe even get hearing aids, but she didn't carry through on it. And then sometime in the last year with his work, he had to get a hearing test. And he came home all enthused, for the doctor was quite taken aback by the quality of his hearing, said he heard much better than most people heard. He just didn't listen to our daughter when she talked to him. And she found out if she wanted him to hear anything she had to say, she had first to get his attention. And then he could hear. How well do we listen to others? Do you hear what they say? Do you hear the joy or the sadness, the excitement or the disappointment, the victory or defeat in people's voices? And do you hear with your eyes as well as your ears? It's a story you probably heard before. A big party was taking place. Had a receiving line. And this man was observing what was taking place, and he noticed that the person in the front of the receiving line greeted everybody. How are you? Well, that's wonderful. I'm so glad you came. And so when he went up to greet the person, they said, how are you? He said, well, not very good. Said, my mother died last week. My wife's filed for divorce, and I've got to have bypass surgery tomorrow. The person said, well, that's good to hear that. I'm so glad you came. Do we hear what people say, or do we just sort of pass it off? If we truly love people, we will have our ears and our eyes open to hear what they truly say. And how well do we listen to God? Do we spend time each day in His Word, reading, studying, and listening to what God has to say for us? Do we spend time in prayer, waiting, listening to His still small voice? Do we spend time in worship with God's people, listen to hear His Word for us? Have we really heard the first and great commandment is you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And the second commandment is likened to you should love your neighbors yourself. And then Jesus goes beyond that. He said, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Do good to them. And then the crumpet oil off, he said, love one another as I have loved you. We've heard those words all of our lives, but have we really heard them? Have we taken them in? Have we processed them so that we do what the Word says? Perhaps one daily prayer of ours to God should be, open my ears that I may hear voices of truth, thus it is clear. Surely all of our lives would be fuller and richer and more of a blessing to others if we listened and truly heard what others had to say to us and what God was saying to us. Those who have an ear to hear, let them hear. And then there's a matter of speaking. Do you, as Christ's disciple, have an impediment in your speech? To the ringing appeal of the psalmist in Psalm 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, do you reply, kindly excuse me, I don't want to go on record? We sing, as we did a little bit ago, with gusto, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. But do we use the one tongue that we have to tell what Jesus has done for us, knowing that what He's done for us, He can and will do for others? The psalm you're familiar with, it's no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. Have you told the story? Proverbs 15:23, we read, "A word spoken in due season, how good it is." A word spoken in due season, how good it is. A word of encouragement. A word of thanksgiving. A word of care. There's power in words. Life in the power of the tongue. A word in due season, how good it is. But for you and me, is it never the season to speak for God? Do the silencing impediments of caution and cowardice prevent us from speaking boldly for God in the presence of need or wrong? God needs our voices to speak plainly for Him, that His voice may be heard. Will we pray, "Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere"? Or will we be like Moses when God called him, you remember, from the burning bush and told him to go to speak to Pharaoh? Moses said, "Lord, send someone else. Send someone else. Anyone else, Lord. I'm not eloquent of speech. Send someone else." Do we use the gift of speech that we have to tell others of God and His love? Oh, we so desperately need to listen to God and to speak forth clearly, vibrantly, vitally, that which we have seen and heard of God's love and grace. If you were going tomorrow to seek a position or to seek a loan, you'd feel more comfortable if you had someone in authority to put in a good word for you. Let me reverse that a little bit and say that Jesus is counting on you and me to put in a good word for Him. The question is, will we do it? Lord, help us to hear the cries of people around us, to hear those that we love, to hear our neighbors. Help us to hear. And Lord, give us the courage to speak for You and for those in need as well. Ears to hear. Minds to understand. Hearts to respond. And a willingness to act and to speak for God. Lord Jesus, we do pray for these things. So many times we have the opportunity to say a good word for You and we just keep silent. So many times we read Your word, but we're not listening. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to respond. And help us in all things to do Your will. And it's in Your name that we pray. Amen.